Bush and Richie here with your Daily Takeaway podcast. As you're about to hear, this is quite a high-octane, delirious show from two quite tired men after what we did last week. And here's a thing that we come up against on a probably a nightly basis with this show sometimes. When you're tired, right, but it's like 6:30 in the evening, what do you do for a bit of energy? Because we discovered you can't drink coffee because then you're going to be up all night.
It's a problem.
You can't have energy bars because that ruin your tea. If you've got any suggestions as to how in the evenings do you keep your energy up in a way that's not going to have repercussions, hometime@absoluteradio.co.uk.
The struggle is real because I know that when I hit the station around about, 7:15 after the show's finished and you're waiting for your platform to come up, I will always go and eat pastries.
Is that what you do? Go and stove in a couple of pastries?
It depends on the level of tiredness. But yeah, if that's how I will stave things off. And as you say, ruins your tea because I'll still go home and eat.
Well, this is what during this show, as you're about to hear, inexplicably, our producer Nick has turned up with like a case of cans of carbonated water.
I don't know where he's got it from.
Just some of the perks we get access to on this show. You'll hear us drink this during the second half of the show, and it does have some big, big ramifications.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
Now, you know where we were last week. I don't think you could have missed it. We had a wonderful week on board the Disney Dream, but we are aware that you probably have heard a lot about it, so we want this week to be more about you. You know all that we got up to last week. You know everything that we ate, all the pools that we swam in, the places that we visited. And I'm sure you have gone through great patience sort of listening to us and the wonderful time that we were having. Bear in mind, it was a working holiday.
It was a working holiday. We were working, but I think Richie feels the same way. I feel like we need to keep our heads down this week.
Yeah.
Stop going on about it.
We had a great time. We had a wonderful time. But we want to hear about what you got up to. You don't need to hear about us anymore.
No.
We're all ears today. We're not speech. We want to hear from you. We want your half-term postcards.
So even though I was over there with you, I can give you a kind of a half-term report from last week that isn't anything to do with what we were doing.
I want to hear it.
So someone in our local area moaned that the lavender in our front garden was overgrowing and actually impeding people's walkway on the street. So South End Council, who've got clearly nothing else to do, not that bothered about all the huge potholes that are everywhere in South End, decided to send us a letter. So I had to overly cut it back because I knew that we'd be away for a week, thus avoiding any form of a fine because we had 14 days to sort it out. I'm pleased to announce that my cutting away work actually worked and we haven't been fined so far.
That's great news.
That's good news, isn't it?
I'll give you a half-term report, even though obviously I was away with you and you know everything that I got on with. I've still got something to report back from last week.
Go on.
So whilst we were away, unbeknownst to me, my mother-in-law cut back the bushes at the front of the house.
There's a bit of a theme going on here.
Yeah, isn't that very, very kind?
Did she get a letter?
Didn't get a letter. But what was very awkward was I didn't realise that she put it all in the brown garden waste bin. So when one of our neighbours came over yesterday and said, "You got room in your garden waste?" I was like, "Oh yeah, yeah, loads. Come and stick your stuff in." They came over, opened it up. The bin was full already. There was no room for it. I felt ever so bad.
Oh dear, so what do they do? Have to go back and...
Had to go back. They haven't got rid of their garden waste.
Use your own bin. Use your own bin, mate.
Look, that's our half-term reports. You know the rest of it. So tell us, what did you get up to last week? We want to hear about it. Rebecca hiked 5 peaks in 6 hours over in Snowdonia over the last week, an area we know very well.
I feel like she's done that just to slightly rub our noses in it.
I think so, particularly mine, because I couldn't even manage one peak in about 5 hours.
Yeah, we only did one peak. That was literally it. Don't go around saying how many peaks you've done.
Steve is in Weymouth, says, my half-term postcard involved me finally passing my HGV Class 1 test. Well done, Steve.
Oh, can you imagine driving one of those things? What's that? I had that video game for a bit where you drive a truck simulator or something.
I had Truck Simulator on my phone and I used to play it on the toilet. It was great just to, like...
Do you know, for me, the reason why I would love to be an HGV driver, it's nothing to do with, like, the open road and exploring loads of different service stations. It's just sleeping in the cab. Imagine sleeping at Keel Services.
That'd be great.
It'd be so much fun, wouldn't it? So much fun. Adrian says, bank holiday Monday, set off at 3:15 a.m, arrive Wembley 9:30 a.m, breakfast, look around the hostelries until 2 p.m, enter Wembley. I leave Wembley 6 p.m. after losing in the last 5 seconds of extra time, arrive home, brackets Newcastle, 4:20 a.m, totally shattered. We believe, after a bit of research, he was at the Barnsley Sheffield Wednesday game.
Ouch, poor fella.
Last 5 seconds of extra time. Hang in there.
Footballer can do it to you. Jay, you're week, please? What happened?
It was fishing in France in a lake called Gigantica for a week. Absolutely fantastic. Unfortunately, only managed one carp the whole week.
So you're there, you've got a whole week in a lake that's almost having a pop at you calling itself Gigantica, and you can only land one carp?
It's a very famous lake in France, Gigantica. Fish to 100 pound, carp to 100 pound in weight.
I'm sure it is, Mark, but I mean, you haven't answered the question there. You spent a whole week by this massive lake and you've caught one carp.
One carp, yes.
Is it, Jay?
I've got no answers for it. I mean, they were getting ready to spawn, so that's my excuse.
Come on now, Jay. Maybe it's time to knock this whole fishing thing on the head. Maybe it's not your thing.
That's what my lease would be saying, to knock it on the head, yeah. Spending a week in France, well, to catch one fish, you'd be saying the same thing.
Now, what is the reality? I mean, you've spent the week by that lake. What are you back to doing today, Jay?
I'm still off this week, so we've got another week off, so it's barbecue and then a few drinks outside in a minute for the rest of the week.
Brilliant. When did you win the lotto, Jay? Was it...
we've got puppies coming as well, so we're going to be any time now. We've got puppies coming.
It just gets better and better for Jay, doesn't it?
It really does.
Living the dreams.
We had a message in earlier on, didn't we, from a lady called Rebecca who said she'd done 5 peaks in 6 hours in Snowdonia,
yeah.
Which we felt was a bit of a low blow considering we didn't really do. We did one peak in.
Like, well, you managed one peak. I managed to stop 2/3 of the way up.
So you did 0.75 of a peak.
Correct,
in
yeah.
5 hours. Mike has tweeted to say doing the 5 peaks to rub your noses in it is fair game, boys. After all you've been just doing the same thing spent last week, rubbing our noses in it about the whole Disney
it's
cruise.
It's a very good point. It's a very good point. So fair point. Mark, tell us, your half-time postcard, what were you doing?
I was in Vegas for a week, all expenses paid, playing poker.
You were playing poker, all expenses paid. At what casino was that then, Mark?
It was at the Orleans Hotel and Casino.
Wow.
Now, Mark, that doesn't sound like a corporate trip. How does that kind of thing happen?
No, I've won a poker tournament in Leeds. It's called Red Tooth. It's a national pub league.
Right.
I'd won a place there back in February, and 17th to the 26th of the week we went away.
Wow.
There was hundreds of us from across the country, and we all played in a big poker event and other poker tournaments throughout the week.
So when you're doing your poker, Mark, what are you wearing? Are you doing the old, the little visor, the see-through visor, or are you sunglasses and a cap? What do you wear?
It was too hot. It was 38 degrees. I thought it was aircon, but I was just sat in a T-shirt and shorts.
Good lads.
I don't get that weather in Hull.
No, they don't. You're right there.
And how did you get on? Did you do okay? Did you win some money?
Yeah, I've come fourth in the main event, so I didn't do too bad.
Well, look at that international hustler there. And now you've come back from the strip. What is reality for you today, Mark? What are you doing right now? We can hear you on the road.
I'm currently coming up to the Dartford Tunnel. I'm in the space service and I'm coming down to Kent for a course.
Wow, what about that? From the casino to the Dartford Tunnel. What a great leveller.
Lovely.
Cheers, Mark. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, mate.
Debbie's hanging on. Debbie, tell us, what did you get up to?
We went to Scotland. It was about 8.5 hours driving up there, and we wanted to Bag of Munro. So,
forgive our ignorance. What's Bag of Munro? It sounds like a little creature or something.
Yeah, so I think it was about over 4,000 mountains in the Cairngorms, and we climbed, I think it's the seventh highest.
4,000 mountains in Scotland?
Yeah, there's probably more than that, actually.
Wow. Sounds like a Casey Melio song. A difficult follow-up.
So, yeah, and this was, 4,296 feet, I think it was.
Wow.
Yeah, so it took about over five hours to get up and down.
So, Debbie, a mountain in Scotland is called a Munro. Is that
it
that?
Is, oh, yeah. Wow, I don't know why, but it's a Munro.
Okay.
Not Marilyn, but a Munro.
And then the technical term is bagging a Munro. What were we doing the weekend? I bagged a Munro.
So you bag a Munro, and so there's, as I say, I think the highest one is Ben Nevis.
Yeah.
And
I've heard of that.
Yeah, so this one was about the seventh highest.
I feel like a lot of tonight's show has been people just like getting in touch to have a pop at how rubbish we were going up and down Snowdon. Do you know what I mean?
It does feel like it.
Well, this is like quite a high one. You're up in the clouds, and you can, when you get to the top, you can sort of see, for miles.
Now, Snowdon was up in the clouds, but I never got high enough to actually go into the clouds.
The Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Need a bit of advice at this point in the show. It's my middle daughter, my four-year-old daughter, Thea's school sports day tomorrow. And I'm expecting a dad's 100 metres, which is a lot of pressure, isn't it? Because you're forced to run at speed in front of loads of children and teachers and parents. Forced to run at speed when you're not prepared for it. And it's my first real experience of this because my eldest daughter, Erin, who's 13, I was doing a different kind of shift time when this was going on, so kind of missed it all because I was in work earlier. But I'm kind of worried about how to play it. So, like, with the 100 metres race for dads or whatever, do I go all in and, like, get, like, running spikes or shorts, T-shirt, turn up ready to go?
Yeah.
A bit of Lycra. Or do I play it kind of casual with jeans and kind of play it down a little bit, but secretly try and go for it. Do you know what I mean? Like, how do you play this kind of thing? What's the etiquette?
I'm concerned, because the very fact that you're asking the question suggests a burning desire to win.
I want to give a good account of myself.
Desire to win.
Yeah, I want to win. I want to win the thing. You know, I don't want to Ben Johnson it, but I want to win.
I don't want to decry school playing fields, but I don't feel like they're what they were back in the day, and I'm worried about your back.
I know, and I've only just got out of having that bad for ages.
Exactly. So I think probably the sagest advice would be it's all about the footwear.
Okay, so go in, because I mean I normally wear kind of like Converse All-Stars and stuff. It's not going to work.
No, you're not going to get the support. You could wear all the jeans and all the ill-fitting tops that you want, but as long as you've got decent footwear on, that's what you need.
Is spikes too much? Start taking it too far? Because I imagine that would be good. Glory Day's artwork on Twitter say, my mate fell over at the finish line during the dad's race and broke his collarbone. Ambulance turned up and the school hasn't done it since. I mean, I want to win it, but secondary, I don't want a big injury. That'd be so embarrassing.
I go back to say I'm worried about the back. And also, just on the footwear, you can't guarantee it's going to be on a field. Could be on a playground. You don't want to take spikes.
That's a good
point. And
then
you're on the playground.
Be all over the place, like a freshly born deer. So look, school sports day etiquette, what's the best way to approach this? Any tips, most welcome. Old Gold on Twitter says, just to remember to warm up properly, Bush. I've got a great video of me storming over the line in first place, but immediately pulling a hammy. I don't need that.
Jason says, I run it every year. I always jump the start. It never did me any good.
Get off before the gun goes.
Because I don't think your sports days are going to have full starts, are they?
Well, I might do it, and if it's not going my way, I could do it. Was it Zola Bud?
Yes.
Take someone out, get old Mary Decker.
Yes.
Get old Mary Decker on the deck.
One for the kids, though.
One for the kids as well. Carl says, I was undefeated in all sports days since 1989 until last year.
Wow.
The dad race, a.k.a. the Olympic final, I was in the lead, completely tore my quad. A year later and still getting physio and weight gain from lack of exercise, I've sadly retired from the dad race, age 43. He says, go hard or go home crying. Good advice. Thank you, Carl. Mike says, shorts, vest and spikes. Defeat is not an option.
Marie says, I ran in the mum's race 6 weeks after giving birth. I felt like my womb was about to fall out halfway up the track. Needless to say, I didn't win.
God bless her for trying. Curly says, as an ex-primary teacher who has witnessed several injuries from dad's races over the years, I suggest that if you're going to take part, that you wear trainers and tracksuit bottom stroke shorts that won't fall down whilst running. There's someone who's had some horrible visions. We've got Will on the line. Will, school sports day intel, what are you saying?
Well, the intel is a pair of Adidas Gazelles.
Oh, right. Why them shoes in particular?
Well, because they don't look too sporty, but they've got all the support and they're all terrain. So if it's grass, if it's concrete, people won't suspect. They just think you turn up in a nice pair of 80s trainers, hip-hop trainers, and actually they're fit for purpose. I run the London Marathon in 1984.
That's great. Wow, so I might look like I'm in an acid jazz band, but I can actually bang out a good 100 metres.
Oh, exactly, yeah. They're perfect for it, absolutely perfect.
Jump on eBay now and pick some up on the way home, eh?
Consider it done.
Yeah, Gazelles, that's the way forward.
This is the Daily Takeaway.
So there you go. Are you going to drink some more carbonated water during the show tomorrow?
I think that might have to be it because it reminds... I don't do this anymore now, but I used to have quite a lot of Alka-Seltzer. I got obsessed with Alka-Seltzer for a bit in the 90s.
This says canned at source, but I can't think of a source that is... like spouting out carbonated water.
Yeah, where's that coming from? What, they've just held the can out and filled it up?
canned at the Soda Stream. What have you done, Nick?